Yeah, thank you very much. I hope that I could talk about the glorious 1989 and the future, but I have to talk about the grim present. Unfortunately, Hungary was Muster Knabe of transition is a deep problem. The only country now that borrowed from the IMF, the first country that borrowed from the IMF, the sum of 20 billion euros, which is a huge amount for a small country, three times per capita compared to the US packages. A couple of sad facts before I talk about the story, and which the story will a little bit in contradiction with some of the thesis of Professor Wiesenthal. The fact that Hungary had a problem even before the crisis, no growth, while Slovakia had a pretty high growth, the Baltic countries were in good shape, Hungary had no growth even before the crisis. The only country that has not converged to the rich EU after we joined the Union, because the growth rate was as low as in Germany. And the only country which doesn't meet any of the Maastricht criteria of entering into Eurozone. Too high deficit, too high inflation, too high interest rate, and debt. So we meet none of the criteria, while some countries, the Czechs, meet most, and the Baltic countries meet some of them. So it's an indebted country. The debt per GDP is about 73%, which is much, much higher than the 60% set by European law to enter the Eurozone. Now, the explanation for the financial crisis. It's pretty straightforward, because if you have a high deficit, public sector deficit, and part of the deficit is covered by borrowing from the West, I mean from the foreign exchange markets, and still the domestic interest rate is very high, then households borrow in foreign currency, banks borrow in foreign currency, companies borrow in foreign currency, not currency of your own. So you have accumulated a huge foreign debt, which was happily financed by the markets until October last year, when the investors looked around after the Lehman Brothers failure and noticed that Iceland is over indebted, Hungary is over indebted, and that the two countries did not receive any more finance, that we call the sudden stop, when finance stops. And then you go bankrupt, unless you turn to IMF. Now, I was a central bank governor. I borrowed from IMF 15 years ago, and I thought in my lifetime I would never have to deal with IMF, and IMF is just for the textbook, and now we have to borrow from the IMF. So this is the story in a nutshell. Now, the reasons, and I hope I will have not too much time, because I don't know the answer. I know some of the answers, but let's face that Hungary is an extremely divided country. We have two political blocks, and the socialist, the reformed establishment party, the former Communist Party, plus the liberals, sometimes flanked by the liberals. And the other is a conservative bloc, and the country is cut into two, and I'm not sitting in the in the nothing, I belong to one block. So should you ask another Hungarian coming from another block, the story would be a little bit different. The story, as I see, is the explanation is, there are two explanations. One is the destiny, and the other is the will, or the, as we would say, the path dependency and the policy measures. Now, how shall I proceed? I will proceed with policy measures. Okay, so mistakes. One mistake committed by governments in the 90s, myself included, and in some other countries, the over-reliance on foreign direct investment, which at that time looked nice, at that time was supported by advisors, the international agencies, and, well, that was the mood. But then it has not led to a vibrant Mittelstand, strong domestic economy. A second mistake, which was a Hungarian mistake, probably less typical of other countries, too easy escape into retirement. So when I closed mines, I closed bauxite mine, coal mine, uranium, that what we had. I closed all of them. Then the miners went into retirement and would never work again. And at that time, it looked like a solution of sort. Now it backfires because 50% of the age cohorts works, another 50% in Hungary is inactive, voting socialist. No. So the other policy mistake was that in 2002, when we had a 10% of the GDP, the government deficit, a huge deficit, and since we were about joining the European Union, it looked fine, no problem. The union membership would correct any policies because of the Stability and Growth Pact and also entry into Eurozone, so no problem, somehow life will correct it. But this huge deficit just kept growing and growing and growing until it has grown too high. And this is now the policy mistake. And another policy mistake was not to enter the Eurozone like the Slovenes and the Slovaks. I'm sure the Eurozone story, the Euro, will become a topic, so I just skip it now. And these are my list of policy mistakes. But also destiny. So why Hungary? Why you have problems with a former champion of transition? And also Poland is not perfect. The best case is, Slovenia. The Slovenians, the richest, they did not privatize. They didn't follow your advice. I mean, the advice. They were not too eager to let foreign capital in. They just did their own cautious way. So they are in the Eurozone, they are rich, and nobody talks about Slovenian crisis. We talk about Hungarian crisis. So one of the path dependency stories in a nutshell is, I guess, is 56. We had a revolution which put an end to any hope that communism is shared by the majority of society. So the regime that was installed by the Soviet was a reformist regime, reform communist regime, offering some goodies. Yes, banana, banana. Poles had no banana, Czechs had no banana, Czechoslovaks had no banana, Hungarians had banana on some Fridays, not all days. Some. The Czechoslovaks, East Germans could not travel, we could. Well, every 3 years, provided we behaved. So, of course, the regime was a communist regime, but looked like a little bit liberal and supported by some of the West European journalists and politicians. And the communist regime became so reformist that when we had the regime change, and I don't use the term revolution, it was some of the leaflet, it says the revolution of 89. We never use the term revolution. The Czechs use, although they put the adjective velvet, which of course puts into perspective. We never had a revolution, so the same ruling class which ran the country in the 80s, actually the similar part of the people survived, and they are around us. So that's too smooth transition. No division between past and present. So it's perhaps one of the lessons that you can't change society if you don't say that was the past and this is the present. So now we have a political problem and two blocks. One is the former communist, who are the richest, or who are the capitalists, supported by the inactives. A strange combination. It takes a good politician to solve it. We have some good politicians, and not statesmen, good politicians. And the other bloc is the non-communist bloc, the pro-market, you would think, but because the communists, ex-communists are the richest, and they are the modernizers, the other bloc is a little bit anti-capitalist and anti-Western. Strange in some sense, but totally logical for us. It's not logical for you, and for a foreign visitor, it's confusing that the ex-commies are the pro-market, pro-Europe, pro-America, and the anti-communist Democrats are a little bit unhappy about the capitalism. So that's where we are, and if you think about it, it's not that surprising that we have a huge problem, and I don't see the easy way out unless one party collapses and implosion, and there perhaps new parties emerge, new personalities emerge, a new generation of politicians would enter the scene. So that's a country case in a nutshell, indicating that early start, early success is no guarantee of long-term success, and perhaps also fatigue. Perhaps the early bird doesn't catch the bird, but catches the flu. And so therefore, destiny and bad politics can create a formula for a disaster. Now, we are part of the European Union, so I hope some support will come in terms of not only money, but also influence on how to shape policies, but that's another story.